Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to the Shungite Reality Show. It is January 20. What is it? 20?
It's the 20th.
It's the 20th. Oh boy, I got to find my glasses. Oh, there they are. And my name is Nancy Hopkins, and with me is Derek Condon and Mark Joseph. Derek has been doing a lot of things, and so I'm going to just turn it over to him so he can explain, you know, what he's been doing. You okay with that?
Yeah, we'll just jump in that way, and then, you know, you and Mark just jump in if you need me to expand on stuff too. I don't want to bogart the show, but we'll also actually start off with another shungite beehive update. So of course, you know, I don't remember exactly, because I've actually talked about it in a couple podcasts, what all I've let out up until this point. And Nancy, I'm sure you remind me, but the latest, I was able to go out, and I'm not going to recap the whole weather event drama that was in the previous episode, of what happened and then the shungite beehives being affected. But when I have finally recently gotten a chance to open up two of the hives and to see what actually was going on in there. So those two, and I think I did on the previous episode, let people know, Nancy, right, that two had basically relocated. And so the new news will be, because I was curious, you know, well, what happened to, do they take the honey? Do they, you know, was there brood left in there or anything like that? And I have the frames. I'll get photos and maybe try and get a Nancy for a promo image or something. But they took, before the shungite beehives relocated again into the nearby mountains, which is not even 100 yards away, they took all the honey with them. So, and I can tell because...
Let me interrupt you, because when the last show you said you opened up one and there was bees in it.
Yep.
But
that's
it was
still the case.
Yeah, and then there were the two that you didn't get to open up, and these are the ones that you opened up and you found out that they were gone.
Yep, exactly.
And all the brood, the babies, and all the honey, which meant that they had time to evacuate to a more secure place. Let's hope it was more secure. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to clarify that.
Oh, no, good. No, do that. Yeah, and there's definitely more secure. It's dense forest. Oh, we're in the Cascade Mountains here, and it's just really dense. I live out in the boonies, a place called Concrete, Washington. So if you look it up, you'll see how far out there. So they didn't need to move far to find a new home. And there's lots of trees of various states. So there's going to be basically pre-made homes for them in this area, especially. Easy to relocate. And that's what they did, because I can tell... And I've had hives in previous years attacked by wasps, hornets, all mice. And you can always tell on how they extract the honey, you know, if it's done cleanly, it's bees that have done it. So that was one of the key factors I could see too. And the brood had hatched. And sometimes it depends on if there's colony collapse disorder or something. Often the brood are just left in the hive, and they just die in the hive, and you can see it. But that's not the case in this one. Everything was open up and extracted, not damaged, as if a critter got in there or something. So, but they did, take all the shungite, and good for them. They took their reserves with them, and they'll do that real quickly when they relocate out there in the nearby forest. I mean, I'm talking about within 1 day to 2 days, because they'll not just take honey with them. They'll take some of the wax and move that over there and just start rebuilding the comb. And I mean, it's really interesting to watch. I'm sure there's some video somewhere, probably on YouTube, of bees building honeycomb or comb, because there's brood comb. But yeah, it's really fast. So that's
Well,
good news. Go ahead.
what we should kind of mention or explain is that the one that did not leave was the one that was not Levi's. And Levi had two that he was using scalar energy with. And based on what I heard from Derek and Levi too, is that it's likely that his scalar, the efforts he put in with a scalar, that those two hives were stronger than the one that was not. Even they're all Shanghai hives, and that the one that was not, they just hunkered together because they didn't have the numbers, probably, or maybe the strength to be able to make a move that drastic. Whereas the other two that were under scalar energy did. And I think that that's an important thing to mention.
Nope. Yeah, that's a good point. Exactly. And all, and they knew, so the bees would leave because for there's many reasons, but the hives were under threat, the entire hives, because of the various weather events, the biggest issue being the ground getting so flooded in that area and so much moisture that everything settled. And it didn't, and I'm talking about houses as well. There were lots of issues, trees popping up out of the ground, all kinds of things, because the root systems typically don't go as deep as the average person thinks. We all visualize, some of us, a tree and then flip it upside down and it's got that similar root system. Oh no, they're much shallower, I'll just put it. So it doesn't take as much as you might think to topple those things. Again, especially in a forest like this. So the beehives settled as well, and unfortunately settled back, which again, as I mentioned earlier, propped the entrance up and they started catching water, and so issues there. So they knew that, so then the bees would basically, I would leave an apartment building, a house, if it started, shifting back like that, catching all the rain. So then they'll relocate.
Well,
And
you
then
were also having earthquakes in the area, and I would think that the bees would detect those.
oh yeah, well, we had earthquakes, we had wind events, we had snow, rain, everything, just name it. And then yeah, and then the middle hive is just smaller numbers and didn't have enough to get going to relocate. So then they just hunker down, and luckily now that stuff's all stopped and we've readjusted them, and so we'll see how that all goes. But that's basically the update in the Shanghai beehives. Yeah, they had a tough run, but no colony collapse disorder of any kind, no sickness, no diseases or anything like that, no mite issues. So I won't get into all those specifics, but no, they did great. And then just location matters. Yeah, and this was a once, as they put out in the news, over 100-year event in this area, so it wasn't something that happened all the time, which is why everything. I mean, there were houses lost. Literally going down the river. So, next topic, unless you guys have any more questions on that, we can jump into the new website.
Oh, I do have a question on, since we're on the bees topic. You do have the nonprofit website on the bees, and then a book on that, and maybe you could talk about your other books too.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, as far, and actually, I so kind of have an update on that too. So, the nonprofit is The Natural Beekeeper's Path, and that's it, thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. And there's a book with the same name that's available on the website we'll talk about here shortly, but a lot of you already know it's cosmicshungite.com. But that book is available there. But on the nonprofit, and it's a federally recognized 501c3, so you get, you can write off any donations to it. And I believe we have some kind of a bee gift that we give for people to donate, a little watering station sort of deal. But what the good news is I want to, and this happens behind the scenes, I have it all automated when I built that website, because half of the purpose behind that nonprofit is to get a nationwide group or a collection of names and contact information for people and beekeepers along the transportation routes for these migratory beehives, like that accident. And this is all on the website, so you can read it and watch the video that's available there later if you want more information. But yeah, the semi trucks that often, it's about once a year, flip with beehives on them, usually they have to kill those bees. So we're getting that list, and that's what I'm announcing, is that list is growing, because it caught me off guard, because again, it was automated, just the sign up process, and I just checked the Google sheet behind the scenes. But people are signing up through the entire United States to become a, and there's no cost or anything like that, and there's no commitment. But if an accident happens in your area, we'll contact you and say, hey, are you, is there something you can maybe help with? Just show up with a suit, help out. You don't have to lift heavy objects if you don't want, or you can direct traffic, whatever it may be. But we're getting lots of those people that again are signing up, and they can sign up right at that website, thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. And then the other half of the nonprofit is what, and it's thanks to, and we did a show on this already, but it's thanks to Levi in this case and other supporters. So we've had other donations and things like that. But that one just really kicked us over to where we could now start building the first emergency, we call them beekeepers kit or something. I keep, I don't remember the name of it. I'm not sure it had an exact name. But what we're doing is putting together a kit for first responders along, again, these transportation routes. So, like in our case, when the sheriff showed up, well, typical deputies don't have a bee suit in their trunk. And most of them don't even have a bee suit at the department. They have to rely on maybe a local or something like that. So what we're doing is putting together those bee suits and tools and instructions, and a lot of other parts and pieces are needed with that, so that when that first responder, and they needed an ambulance too, and they couldn't stop, the tow truck drivers couldn't stop, but at least now they'll have that one kit. And again, with your support, we're going to be able to hopefully get more of these kits, and again, just cover the United States, these transportation routes, so that there's those available. And then there's the one last thing on that is there's a, it's already, it's all free. Of course, it's a nonprofit, and I put together a free downloadable first responder, emergency for if this does happen in your area, even if you don't have one of these kits already gifted to your local sheriff or fire department or whomever. The information on what to do, because not everybody knows, don't show up when these accidents with a lot of lights and sirens going on. That does certain things to the bees. And then there's other stuff to know, but that info is free to download for all first responders right now. And then there's a number that rings my phone directly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If, and it's available on the internet. If there's a bee emergency and they need information, or just say, hey, what beekeepers have signed up for the first responders in this area? And I'll look it up and share that information, and then give some information back from there. So that's what's kind of going on with the nonprofit. So that'll be, and we're going to do the first gifting, of the bee kit, here probably in the springtime. So that should be pretty exciting. I don't know if you guys have any questions on that at all.
No questions.
Yeah, I pretty much spieled it all out. Trying to see now my list. And then we can go to, we can jump to the Cosmic Shungite. So for those that don't know, the online, we're talking about the online store of Mystical Wares, so mysticalwares.com. If you've gone there recently, you're going to see the whole new graphic saying it's transformed into cosmicshungite.com. And that's where the entire online store has moved with all of our products that are available now. There's a few that are missing and some new ones that will be added in the next couple months. But on that website now, and take a drink of water there, that's all available. And we have a normal coupon code, save 10, for 10% off your entire order. And I think we're doing a free bracelet giveaway still. But all the typical Shungite products are available on there. And again, a couple of them will be available here not too long, and then some new ones.
Now that save 10, is it save space 10 or is it one word?
Nope, just all run together, and I set up two, so it can be lowercase, uppercase, doesn't matter. Just save 10, and that'll be 10% off everything they order. And I pretty much just left that one active all the time, and it's right on the front page. And then it's four rock chip bracelets, they're called, but they're little polished rocks, but in chip form, not beaded. But I think it's orders $50 or more. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. You can get four of those for free automatically. I do want to mention, because I keep it kind of hidden, but on the website, cosmicshungite.com, if you scroll down and you see the other products tab or option, that's going to be where, just like it'll tell you, well, some things we didn't know how to categorize. And you also can't have 20 different categories, or it gets too confusing and overwhelming. So there's lots of reasons for that. But when you go to the other products, before you get to the actual other products that are on that page to look at, things like shungite dowsing rods and organite devices and all sorts of things, there is a link that says something like, if you're interested in rocks and crystals. So if you click that one, and that's the only way to get to the page, you're going to see a lot of other things like polished rock bracelets. I don't know how many types of those we have on there, to a 49-pound rose quartz crystal skull, to little treasure chests with all kinds of goodies in it. So stuff like that that isn't, necessarily shungite related, but we wanted to still make available. So it's kind of, again, under the other products, and then you'll see a about rocks and crystals link. And that's where you, and there's a piece of the moon on there. There's a piece of Mars on there, a little meteorite from each of them. There's gonna be all kinds of interesting things I get, because we're gonna also talk about here in a moment, but the Arizona trip I just went on, and that's where I get a lot of these things. From these trips I make from Washington down to Arizona to the Rock and Gem shows.
Before you get any further away from it, so I don't forget, you've actually got a piece of the moon.
Yeah, I got a piece of the moon. We make moon water. So what better way? Because usually people make moon water. And there's lots of descriptions of that and what you do with it, but people, it's a thing, and they'll take it out at a full moon or an eclipse, or there's all different times, because there's different energies coming at the moon from that. Well, I thought about it. I was sitting in my office, and I have this little, and it's a certified piece, and a piece of Mars. So I started thinking, well, what the heck? I don't need to take my water out there to the moon. I literally have a piece of the moon, and quantum entanglement's a thing. It's a moon. Well, put it right next to the water. I mean, how closer can you get? So I did that. So then I'd put a cup of water on the
Well,
piece of the.
now, so do you detect that the moon is a natural body, or do you think it's a spaceship?
It's, well, I don't see this being a spaceship. I can, what I've seen, no, it's natural. It's made of natural. It doesn't mean it became into being naturally, but it's made of natural parts and pieces, if that makes sense.
Well, because David Wilcock writes in his, oh, I forget his ancient, well, I don't remember what the name of it is. But anyway, one of his last books, he was talking about the moon being part of a defense system that is like the Death Star, from Star Wars. And that, when the planet that is now the astro belt was destroyed, there. Oh, Mark messaged me. Mark, you can always, interrupt and say it, but it's very conceivable to imagine that this Malduk, I think they called it, it's got another name too, but that it was at war. And it made these different, I don't know what they call them, defense spheres or something, and put it through the solar system. And that's what they say is what this is. And when they got destroyed, there's a whole story that Wilcox give to it. But the thing that always made me very suspicious of it was when they took one of the landers and they put some energy with it, and they sent it back to the moon. And when it hit the moon here on Earth, they could detect a ringing. And it rang for, I don't know, like an hour and a half or something, which the only way you would get that was if you had a metallic, let's say, inner system to it. So it could have been made, like you say, out of natural material, but it could have been, let's say, that was a covering for the actual metal structure beneath it. Do you
Yeah, there's a.
detect?
Go ahead. Sorry to see.
No. Do you detect any of that? Or Mark, you wanted to say something?
There's a book called Who Built the Moon by Christopher Knight and Alan Butler. They were guests on Coast to Coast, like, I don't know how many decades ago. But they give all the exact measurements that the moon is. I mean, as far as where it is, it shouldn't be there, as far as a natural thing. That's probably a natural substance. Like what you're talking about with Wilcock, other people. I don't know if it was Cremo, but all these other Coast to Coast guests say that for what it is, it shouldn't be there. And anyway, there's that book, and then people could just type in that name on YouTube and find out about the measurements and all the stuff that there's an artificiality to it, despite if it being a natural rock.
Well, if it wasn't there, we wouldn't have tides. We would the weather would be just kind of chaotic. We exist because the moon is there.
Well, yeah, I'll tell yeah, we would have the moon anyway. I'll just say it was taken over and controlled. So everything Mark's saying is accurate. So yeah, it should not be sitting there. Should not be. And yes, it spins, but it spins in the exact sequence and blah 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 to line up with us, so we never see the dark side. And but yeah, no, that's a thing. So it was we had the moon was there, and we would have just different tides and stuff. So then they controlled that. So then you just get up there and yeah, you can bring enough, I don't know what they built, some technology, who knows what. They can control the way the thing responds. So
There's a lot of stuff about it putting out a signal that dumbs down human beings. And I mean, there's so many stories involving the artificiality of the moon. And that's why when you said you had an actual moon piece of it, did you detect anything beyond that it's that, this material that created it?
yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, because I'm doing it right this minute, and it about knocked me out of my chair. Yeah, I'm kind of like saying, I'll put it this way. I'm getting active resistance put against me from something when I, and I wasn't even thinking, doing it consciously. I'm just literally here in the past few seconds listening to you, and I'm thinking about the moon. And I'm all of a sudden, I just start doing it. I just initiate what you would call a remote view, or I do remote perception kind of thing, because I start feeling it first, and then, bam, a blast came back at me, and I literally, nobody could see it because I'm on audio only, but I fell out of this chair because it just hit me that hard. I'm still feeling my hands; they're like tingling, so like the tips of my fingers are, and that was. And I've had this isn't the first time I've had a similar type thing happen, so I know. And because it was pushed back at me, it wasn't something I remote in, because I know the difference. I can do that too, where I remote in, I'll feel, oh, a change in this energy or feeling, and it comes in different ways, and it just changed. So it's like a thermocline in water. If you go in deep enough in the ocean, there's literally a layer where the temperature changes. This one was pushed back at me. So that's when I say things like, well, that was an active one. So basically, somebody trying to tune into a certain radio station, they turned up the squelch on that channel so that we couldn't get past. I'm again just trying to give a visual, if that makes sense, of
Well,
what's happening.
did it feel like your energy got reflected back?
No, it got. My focus on it got scrambled, is what it was. So it was like I was like me trying to tune into a certain song I was hearing over there, and all of a sudden they turn on 10 other songs. So it was something like that. It wasn't that I was stopped, but it's like, well, you can't enter if it's that, because then I can't pick up anything. It'd be like you trying to focus on a math problem in your head where you got two people screaming in your ear, a really smelly thing under, it's odd, but all your senses overwhelmed. And a bad taste in your mouth. And so that's what happens. It's not like they grab, again, I'm just trying to give people a visual because I wasn't trained in none of this stuff. It's just the way it goes. for me, and it's more of a overwhelming your senses thing, to where you can't perceive. Like right now, my ears are like ringing. It's gonna mess with my psychic stuff, just because my ears, what they're doing to both of them. It's I don't know how to, I can't really say. It's a higher tinnitus pitch, and these things come on exact timing. It's not just, you know, somebody's going deaf. That's not in your ears anyway. But no, it gets real succinct, like a Morse code sometimes, or just the tune or tone. Yeah, anyway, it's weird stuff. I gotta probably write about it someday.
I had a situation back in 76. Yeah, I think it was 77 maybe, where it was a project given to me by the same people that were working on remote viewing in that secret group that the movie they what is it? Something about goats. They talked to goats or something. Gene Kumi was in it, and those people, that group there, and they wanted me to look at this. They had a drawing. It wasn't a photograph. It was a drawing. They wanted me to take a look at it and find out what it did. And when I focused on it, as a remote, I was doing a remote on it. When I focused on it, no problem. I found it right off the bat. And all of a sudden, I was filled with an incredible amount of fear, like terror, like I've never felt in my life. And so it knocked me right out of the remote. And what I was told is that that's what happens every time one of their remote viewers tries to look at something. So it's almost like a, at the time in 76, I felt that there were people who were sensitive to the energies of somebody remoting something, and that they actually put out the energy themselves. But now, I mean, how many years later, 55 years later, I'm sure that it's a you don't need a human being to do it. They probably got it so that they know exactly the resonance that will scramble somebody's remote capabilities. And that's what you may have encountered.
Yep, I don't know. Yeah, well, and the reason we're so bringing back what we were doing, yeah, that's what I would do is put, and still do. We sell it here in the store, but moon water that's literally, you know, either touched or been within an inch of the moon itself, and then I do the same thing. I get actually sitting right here next to me, Mars is what I have. I'm holding a piece of Mars in my hand. And what they do, so everybody knows, and these are, and again, I put them for sale online for those who, you know, wanted to experience them, but they originate from a verified larger meteorite, and then, you know, they get a company to put some money to behind it for these fancy little cases to put a smaller piece in, and they sell it out from there. So that's what's going on. It's not just like I walked down the desert and said, well, that's a piece of Mars. No. And they're all numbered and things like that. And this one's from this is a fragment from a Martian meteorite that was discovered in 2022 in Algeria, North Africa. And its laboratory analysis concluded it's a Martian nacolite, which is considered to be one of the rarest of all Martian meteorites. Yeah, so anyway, oh, it says it was likely ejected from Mars by an asteroidal impact. So anyway, same thing with the moon piece, little tiny pieces. But wow, that just
You know,
went.
I love the natural explanation and asteroid, but the reality is it looks like Mars was hit with a nuclear explosion way back, millennia, probably at the same time that the planet in the asteroid belt blew up. It was the same, I believe it was the same war. And the reason that I can say that so assuredly is that they were doing scientific analysis of some of the soil, and it came back radioactive. And this one scientist really dove into the whole thing, And so it's conceivable that it's a piece of Mars that flew off during this massive explosion. You can see it. If you look at Mars, you'll see that it's not a perfect circle. You know, huge. I'm talking about probably at least, I don't know, an eighth of the planet is been disturbed in a massive something, like something massive happened. So, all right, so do you get anything off of that?
Oh no, I'm not gonna go remote in it or anything. I don't no, I don't definitely not gonna do that live on the air. I didn't mean to do the moon one just now. 'Cause I still have a headache from that. Yeah, no.
We can leave the subject. You brought it up, and I kind
Yeah,
of
to
wanted to
let you
know.
know about the pieces. No, I know, and that's what I was saying. You didn't ask me to do anything. I just all of a sudden was again, that's how fast it is too. It's like focusing on something.
Yeah.
All of a sudden so yeah, literally is getting a headache right in my third eye too, so that's not random anyway. those are up, and those aren't they just they're not like have bad energy or something, it's just different energy. What was my issue here is I was remoting somewhere, again, just like walking into a club with 50 types of genre music playing at once, it's gonna give you a headache. The other thing I did was here recently was another trip to Arizona. So for those that don't know, I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, up in an hour south of the Canadian border in Washington State, right on the coast. It's called the Puget Sound. So I drive from there. I don't know if I ever looked at how many miles it is, probably a couple thousand. But drive the entire length from Washington, Oregon, California, and into Arizona. And I this time ended up in Quartzsite, Arizona, which is where, for I don't know how much longer, some of the rock and gem shows happen. So a lot of them happened in Arizona and Tucson. That's where the big ones are, where they're just think massive circus tents and bigger than that. Where you have to get little ID cards and where to get inside and walk around, and they try and sell you just their stuff and get you to buy more for your store. So that's what the Tucson shows are all about. The Quartzsite one is, and it started, my dad and I have been doing it for, I don't know, he started over 30 something years ago, where it was a bunch of old guys in pickup trucks that would just kind of line up in this little patch in the desert right off the highway. And that's how I grew up going to it. And you'd have a bucket with some water in it, and they would just cut these rocks that look pretty to them and what we call slabs and stick it in water because it looks better wet. And that was basically, you went from truck bed to truck bed, and then some of them had tables and just looked at stuff like that. And then every once in a while, somebody'd like, punch a hole in the middle of one of them, drill a hole, put some little clock digit numbers on there, and then lo and behold, you got a rock clock, and those started going. So just little, or put little, we'd melt down little pewter figurines, a little mine or a mule or something, and stick them on there. So we did stuff like that, and that's how the show started. And they evolved into what they were here until again recently, and I'll fill you in. Just, I mean, thousands. And one of the draws is the desert's free to camp in there, for I don't remember the length of time, but it's long enough to where it doesn't matter. So if you got a van, an RV, something like that. You can bring out your desert toys if you have them, ATVs and everything, and live for free, basically. And then they have the shows that you go to, and that's where I go and get a lot of stuff I did for Mystical Wares. And then what happened this year, they've basically, and I know all the vendors there, I've gone so long, they're 60 something, it depends, because it's not concrete math there, percent down in sales from the previous years. And that's the whole show. And I'll say that's, and I've talked to Nancy about it before, but that's not dissimilar from what's happening to shops like Mystical Wares and other rock and crystal stores, because darn near all of them have shut down up in this area. I know there's one holdout, up north a little bit more, so that's good. But yeah, so that's a thing. And it's now, and until now, I didn't know, because I thought, oh, just Washington maybe, But oh no, it's, and these are the distributors who bring in from, I go to the what where they're from. This guys are from, I think it was Brazil, for some of the amethyst. So you get the actual distributor that comes from that country, is what I'm getting at, and then you buy wholesale from them, and now you know the source. But a lot of them are telling me again that even the common stuff, which would be selenite, is just not selling, so they're not going to show up next year. So that's something I just learned in the last
You
couple
know,
weeks.
when I was just starting out in the mineral business, I went to this amazing fair, and it was like almost all the vendors were Native Americans. And they said to me that the mineral, I mean, I was there every day for 4 days and learned so much. But they said that it seems like the interest in rocks and minerals and gems has a 25-year cycle. And he said, the one that was explaining it to me said, yeah, he said, we're right at the tip going up on another real powerful buying time for this stuff. Everybody becomes interested in it. He said, and then it gradually descends until it goes virtually bottoms out, and then it starts up again. So, you know, you might be in the bottom part of that cycle, never mind what's happening with the economy.
Yeah, no, you never know. So, hopefully. I'm telling you about Arizona because I chatted with you, Nancy. I'm not sure anything too exciting. I'm not going to bore everybody with all the stuff I bought and brought back that's, other than what would be available on the website that you could actually, unless you came in person. But one of the cool things I got was some unbroken geodes. That are and they're all guaranteed to have crystals in them because of the way they're formed. So that's kind of neat. Those are often for many years hard to get, or they'd come, pre-cut or something, or polished even. So these are ones that you can, take and break at home, and you don't throw them against a concrete floor. You get a hammer, or a screwdriver, and lightly tap on them, and they'll just kind of split. Otherwise, you're gonna end up with 50 pieces. And I've seen people buy them here at the store. And I'm like, before we can catch them, they'll run outside in the parking lot. And, look, I'd have done it too as a little boy. I was gonna say, little boys tend to do that. And that would have been me. And just slam that thing. And all of a sudden, you're looking down at, again, 1,000 crystals, little tiny ones. So, yeah, break them lightly if you do get them. But they're for sale on cosmicshungite.com. They're in that, again, rocks and crystals area. So, some cool little gifts there. But, Nancy, I didn't say there was no even real drama, I'll just say.
Well, let me just go back to those, because I had somebody give me a geode that was, ooh, it's probably 8 inches high, and about probably close to 6, or between 5 and 6 wide. Big thing, heavy, and it was sliced, with a saw at the bottom, so it sits there, and then the face was sliced. And the vast majority of it was solid crystal, and the only thing that was, the small crystals was in the middle of it. Then they put some kind of a blue coloring to it. So when I got it, and I was like kind of really shocked by it, because the image that was you could see inside the quartz was like a human heart. I mean, I mean, not only was it in the shape of an actual human heart, not just a heart thing, the heart doesn't exactly look like that. And, but it was, it seemed to have the, in a heart, you've got these open areas where it pumps. And it seemed to have those things in it. It was weird, like a heart had been frozen into a quartz crystal. But over the years, and it started up rather quickly, the blue that was all through the entire middle of this geode, okay, all that blue started migrating towards where the heart is. So now the heart is got all sorts of shades of blue. And the other part of the geode is basically just pure quartz. What would do that? What do they color it with? And does it migrate?
Yeah, it depends on how often they or how much they saturate it with. There's a few ways. Sometimes they'll do it with dyes. So when the crystals, so those are made, depending where you're at, you'll get again, I always like to give people visuals. So, and these are real crystals because they grow, but they're also enhanced. And there's another word for it, but basically what they'll do is get a sandbox deep, it'll be depending on the geode, because on this Arizona trip, I brought back the largest geodes I've ever seen in my life, and they were probably 60 pounds each, for just one. And then when you crack these things open, so I'm talking about, I don't even know, one of them's probably almost 2 feet long. I mean, these are huge. So when you break them apart, and then inside is just an array of just, unbelievable, just probably millions, I don't even know, of little quartz points and different ones that have grown. And same with yours. What they do is get that sand, I'm calling it a sandbox, just so again for the visual, but the medium in there, it won't be sand, it'll be different, and I don't know the exact mixture. This can all be looked up or ran through AI because it varies on what they're trying to grow, but they'll heat it. So they'll have fires outside, or if it's a big company, they'll probably have, electric ovens that will heat the sides of this thing. So heated sandbox, just like just now think in the kitchen cooking with the right ingredients in there. And what they'll do is get a blend of, again, I don't know the exact because I didn't even know I was going to be talking about this. Excuse me. The ingredients, again, best way to visualize it, that will eventually turn into quartz crystal. And there's going to be, different rocks and minerals, and they'll get that blend and put it inside of this heated sandbox. So now you got the thing that's going to hold your loaf together as it grows. And they'll enhance it that way. And sometimes they'll add whatever they use for dyes. Sometimes it's, if the crystal's already grown, they'll usually spray a mist metal, so like not colloidal silver, but other metals on there, and then heat them up or cool them. There's different ways they either add or enhance the natural color in certain quartzes, and they can turn them straight up colors that just don't exist, and they'll just blend different ingredients. It's not always metals. Again, it's trying to talk to describe somebody making a cake. Well, I mean, come on, how many types of cake are there? And some have that in it, and some don't. So same thing. But yours, just that they'll take that small piece of what I'll call it now dough, their little blend of minerals and whatnots, and stick it down in the heated sand pit, as I'm calling it, and they'll grow. And this is the first year they've ever had them. But these big ones I just found, I'm not kidding, they're probably 2 feet across, the largest one. I can barely lift it. It's big, it's not spherical, but darn near. So they're huge, and they'll just grow down there in random shapes, and then they'll bring them up and usually split them one time roughly down the middle, so you get two halves, and that's usually what you get. Or in this case they did it, and I was able, the ones that are for sale, because these big ones I'm talking about, I wouldn't even dare ship them, because they're so fragile, they end up with a bunch of pieces. But the ones that you can get, the unbroken ones, are probably the size of maybe a plum, I guess. I know there's lots of types of plums, but a golf ball. There we go. So around the size of a golf ball. And the same thing. These are, and they're natural. It's all natural ingredients, but cooked faster. So, and then sometimes they're called thunder eggs, Nancy, if they're the ones that are, you described kind of a lot going on in yours, which is a thing, and they do have them, those. I do too. But if they're solid, usually they'll be called a thunder egg, where they're, and again, there's different names for these things. These aren't scientific names. But a geode, technically, you'd think of, and I used to collect them as a kid, actual geodes that are from, not, these aren't natural, but I mean, they're actual, but they're not natural ones. They're, again, there's another word for that. But anyway, you can find them in the along the creek beds and stuff, and sometimes hear water in them, and we walk the creek beds in Arizona and pick that stuff up. But you don't, they don't usually have as the benefit of these ones that we're talking about now in the heated sand pit, as I'm calling it. Almost every single one is guaranteed to have the crystals in it, because you're in charge of what's put in that oven. So that's,
Well,
and then
I told you about the old prospector that was a mineral collector, and he had a small geode, oh, maybe 3 inches diameter. And he said, shake it. And I shook it, and it sounded like liquid in it. And he said, yeah, that's prehistoric water that it was captured in the geode. And as long as you don't open it, you're going to hear that water. It was really interesting. And energetically, I was just learning to, be energy sensitive, but I have never forgotten the sensation of just shaking that and hearing that and not knowing what I was listening to, but having it was a real connection to Earth, like prehistoric Earth. And then he told me what it was, and I was like, well, that's a learning point.
So that's, you asked about your geode. That's,
Yeah, I appreciate that information.
and then again, and then just, I guess one add on would be the color thing. They'll sprinkle that on the outside. So as the geode, forms and the crystals, it pulls from that, again, whatever mineral or metal that it takes to turn it such and such color. It'll grow into that. So, and then there are some ore quartzes they'll treat later, not during, again, call it the baking process of the geode, but you can get any, and they sell it by the pounds, chunk of quartz. It's all of a sudden purple, or purple, green, and yellow, all with hard, distinct lines on them. And those are called ore quartzes. Kids like them a lot. You'll see all kinds of stuff. But yeah, so the shows are wine. Well, okay, the quartzite shows, so everybody can still go to Tucson. That's more spread out. You got to go. A lot of Tucson shows just in hotel rooms. You literally go to a certain hotel, and all the rooms have been rented by vendors, and they open the door at such and such time to the room, and right there on their bed and or in front of their TV console in front of them, just think normal hotel room, they'll have their trinkets and widgets laid out. One guy, room 505, is sapphires, and next one's, who knows, Black Hills gold. And that's a thing. So that's how, those are where you find different stuff in the parking lot as well. So then they'll have whole pallets of stuff in the parking lot. And then the tent shows. So just give you a vague idea of the difference between the big shows, which are Tucson, Arizona. And I'm not talking about just Arizona here. Of course, there's shows in other states. I was like Colorado. But the natural one, the ones where it's the average Joe can be part of it too, and not the huge tents I was talking about, is Quartzsite, Arizona. So that one's kind of dialing down. But yeah, so anyway, we'll see what goes on there. And then Nancy, there's nothing else on the trip. I think I even it was worth telling you too much about. Oh, other than the on the way back, because what I did find, the my Moroccan wholesalers, who I've dealt with for, I don't even know, probably 10 years there, darn near, were there, and they usually see me coming. And what they had this time was big, so selenite. And for those that don't know, you can look it up online and see, but think a not so clear, kind of milky. It's a type of crystal you don't want to get wet. So again, I'm not going to get into all the specifics about it, but it's been one of those, as Nancy well knows, it's been around forever. It's like one of the first ones people see. So I think it kind of looks like milky white. If you go in any rock and crystal shop, it'll be cut into different shapes and stuff. But what they had here, which was unusual, were the big, okay, so think a log, literally for your fireplace. So these were probably that 18 inches across, and then or long, and then probably 6 inch diameter. So a good size log. So I got, I think it was 1,200 pounds of those, and we resell them in the store, and people like to have that big statement piece order, because selenite's good for clearing excess energies off other things. So if you have another thing or item, crystal, a trinket, it doesn't even have to be a rock or crystal, it could be an old set of keys, I don't care, energies on those, and you can put it on things like selenite. So think of it as kind of like an energy sponge. And it'll kind of even out your object or again, whatever it is. So people like to put their other things on that. Now, how it's different from shungite, I said the word sponge was selenite. I would not say that was shungite. Shungite has all that effect and more, but doesn't hang on to it. So you don't have to go smudging, clearing, putting it under the moon, the sun, however, burying it in the dirt, whatever your way is of, I'll just say, evening out the natural energies of something, usually called grounding or clearing. Selenite, you would have to do something like that. But regardless, these big pieces were coming in, and all said and done, when I did the math, it was about 1,200 pounds, and the only spot to even put this stuff was directly under my cot that I lay out. So think big white van. I even sleep in that thing. I travel to just make it quick because, as Nancy knows, I'll drive till 2, 3 in the morning, and they don't exactly allow you to check in at hotels. And the ones that do let you check in, you don't want to go to. And I'm speaking from experience. So I found myself for 2 nights sleeping directly on top of 1,200 pounds of selenite logs. And I wasn't even thinking about it. I think maybe you mentioned it, Nancy, or it occurred to me at some point. I don't even know. But again, it was just by default where it had to go. So that was something interesting. And I think Nancy, you even asked me, how it felt the next morning or something like that. Well, I'll tell you, it gave me good sleep. Yeah, it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't too overwhelming or anything like that. But that was something I'd never done. It wasn't planned. I've slept on thousands of pounds of rose quartz, th this, that, and the other, all kinds of shungite, depending what I'm hauling that day or what vehicle I'm in, because often it's just big pickup trucks with a canopy. And, I got to kind of crawl in the back because, you got to get a few hours sleep here and there. So you never know what's going to end up being under there. And it's been everything from moldavite to, again, shungite. And so, yeah, the selenite bed was interesting. Yeah, it was. So it was good. That was the one thing worth mentioning, I guess.
Well,
Time.
do you feel like you were purged of negative energies and body, I mean, have you felt better since then, physically?
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, because it's always how we each word it. So yes, it helped me reset, but it wasn't any. See, it's always hard from my perspective though. So I think somebody that's eaten hot sauce his whole life, and all of a sudden you have, not the hottest in front of you. It's kind of, doesn't affect you that much. I don't have another way of even trying to get that understanding out than stumbling through my hot sauce spiel I just invented. But so it helped for, okay, yes, it physically. And I remember, I'm not even going at this thing. I'm just like tired. It's soon morning. Get the heck out of my way. I'm laying down. I'm not sitting there meditating, focusing on nothing. But what I did to, was going to say is I should have been a whole lot more physically sore from what I was doing. And, because I've done this quite a few times, I know what it's going to be like. Well, that had an effect. Helping me reset that way, which means energy as well.
Let me ask you something about the selenite. If you got thin pieces of it, you can see through it, correct?
It better be pretty thin. You might be thinking Viking stone or something like
Yeah,
that.
Viking stone. That's not selenite.
No, it's probably in the same family. Again, I don't know it all, of course. I have to go AI-ing that myself. But no, it's different because I have Viking stones, and then there's, oh geez, I just moved a box of it. Anyway, another one similar to Viking stone, TV stone. So yeah, they look just like selenite, but the fibers are lined up, as such that, think fiber optics. That's why they, which is, if those who don't know, fiber optic is glass. They're just glass tubes with no restriction on the light that passes through them. So that's why you got to be fragile with them. But on these things too, the Viking stone or TV stone, you can look through it, and so put a piece of paper on the ground and or table and lay it on it. Yeah, it'll like magnify it slightly. And way back when, different groups and cultures would hold it up on a cloudy day, because, and we do that here. I demo it for people. Oh shoot, what's it called? It'll maybe Mark, maybe but it. When you hold it up, so let's say you don't know where the sun is because, you're on a ship and it's cloudy and it all looks the same. And that's a thing. You could hold up a piece of this and it would capture enough of the light and it refracts in such a way to like a star pattern. So you'd move, look around through the sky and then eventually it would form a, again, there's a word for it, and I didn't thought about this in a year or two. You can Google it. But you can tell when you're pointing at it. And that's how we do it in the store too. So at different lights, you could do that and tell where the bulb was. So when it's in alignment with your pupil and the shiny object on the other side, be it a light bulb or the sun, it'll give you a star pattern. And if you don't see the star pattern, you're not aligned with it. So that was a thing. And there's way more to that. So there's probably people laughing at me now.
That's what allowed the Vikings to, navigate across the ocean. They could never figure out how this backward people could do this, and then they found out about this rock that
Yeah,
they
and
could.
there's again different flavors of this rock. So now the ones that aren't officially Viking stone or TV stone, but they do the same thing or real similar. But yeah, stuff like that. Maybe I'll put, I don't know, somebody email me if anybody's interested. I'll make some available online. They're little chunks. I don't know, random shape, of course, because they're 3 or 4 inches long by 2 or 3 inches thick. I mean, so I'm not talking about a huge thing. You can put it in your pocket. And you got your own. You're never gonna get lost on a cloudy day. Yeah. Well, okay, as long as you know which the sun's going in its direction. But anyway, yeah. So that's all I got. We're right about the hour. As far as the Arizona trip, now Mark or Andrew, Nancy, anything I missed that you want to chat about?
Winter buys it or store stuff. I always have extras of at home and on the road since I. For work, I'm on the road a lot. The Shungite skin cream is awesome because it's with the silver. And then people who are in colder weather with snow and not wanting to get out, they can use the Shungite magnet, which is the Shungite powder and resin, silver, and then the magnet to what is it, save money. And then also on the fridge. What's some other good winter buys since it's so cold?
Yeah, there's something about, well, I mean, you mentioned, and that the, I call it Shungite and Silver Lip Balm. So it's not just in like the chapstick tube size, it has a biggie size as well. So huge one in both of those. So think, for anywhere, your elbows, if that's the thing, if you're working in an environment where it gets dry or, so for winter and or animals. So get a separate one. But good for animals and dog noses or dry patches on there. Because, yeah, honey works good, but those dogs and cats are going to lick that honey off instantly. But the Shungite, again, we call it lip balm, but just think more. It's a sandwich, do a lot of things with it. So works well for stuff like that. And then the other thing the Shungite honey has been added again. We're doing a transition, so some products have and have not made it for various reasons, but we do have the Shungite honey available with, and it's got the Shungite sticker on top as well, and either with or without the Shungite water beads, which have a removable chain on them now. So it's, I know it's kind of hard to tell from some of the images, but it's not permanently on there if you don't want it to be. But even that, like the skin cream Mark was mentioning, basically same thing as a lip balm, just it's how you want to apply it. And then yeah, you mentioned the winter. I'm trying to think of, I'm kind of scanning the bath and body products here, but really the other thing I would do is in wintertime is probably take advantage of the diatomaceous earth and Shungite powder. That can be used on, I would unzip it, but your cat and dog beds. Or under, there's lots of makes and models and ways they work. But if you can get it in between there, it's going to take care of pests as well, all kinds of fleas, ticks, eggs that are going to hatch. So I'm talking about doing it like now in the winter months because that's when you can do that. And then it'll have that layer in there. If you're in an environment that has flea, I did in California, I don't necessarily have any flea issues with my animals in Washington. And I'm guessing because it gets colder here, I didn't give much thought, but California, that was a thing. So again, depending on your environment, now might be a good time to use that. Oh, without one. I'm glad you actually asked that, Mark, because that ties me into what I just did the other day. So, we've had some employees that have been sick here recently, and it happens. Stuff goes around, gets passed around, and we're all in the same store kind of thing. So then I'll ask them, like, well, how did the symptoms start? Or they'll just have already said it in a conversation or something. And what I'm getting at here is their glands. They first started, so right up in their throat. There's And I have no idea what the glands are called up in there. I know there's parathyroids, maybe they're thyroid. Two big glands up in there under your throat on either side are the ones they were referring to. And they just started hurting, getting sharp pains. And I know that's pretty typical. I get it, for sicknesses and stuff when they come on. So what I thought about, and it was 100% intuitive hit. So basically, someone telling me or giving me this suggestion, because I wasn't sitting around thinking about this. But a couple nights ago, I felt it in I swallowed, took a drink of water or something or other. I'm like, oh no. I felt, just the burning you can get in those glands. Again, probably everybody hears had it happen how many times. It's a thing, and it's, a symptom of a preemptive something going on. So you're already trying to fight something. So again, me not even giving a thought, all of a sudden, I get a visual of me wearing the Shungite rubber mask around my throat, and it just happens to be, if you just invert it the other way, the right shape to lower it over, to set it over your glands. So that's exactly what I did, was took the Shungite rubber mask. It's a shape, for those who don't know, it's a shape of just a typical eye mask, kind of the infinity symbol loosely if you look at it, or with a bigger for the eye. But if you take that and lay it on there, and by the next morning I was 100% healed from all of that. The glands were had no issues whatsoever, and still everybody around me still had issues. So that's just something that just literally happened that I'd never thought about recommending it for. But yeah, Shungite rubber's not just in this case for your eyes because it's in the shape of an eye mask. Take that thing. I mean, it's already in a silk case called the eye mask case, or whatever it's called. To hold the rubber, you move it up your arm, put it on your leg, put it up over your next to your neck. Unless, don't go putting things around your neck, but you can lay it on the front of it, kind of thing. So it can be used in different ways, is my bigger point here. And again, in that way, and I hadn't even thought about it. And it again fit
People might want to use it just as a prevention thing during
100%.
when they know there's
Absolutely.
sickness around. Don't hesitate. I mean, you sit with, because it works very fast, and what it's probably doing is detoxifying the glands so that they can do their job. Because I think that when they get filled up, they can't process it. That's when you got a sickness coming on because they just can't keep up with it. So I would do it preventive, to prevent these things.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole nothing. This was just, I don't know, 2 days ago or something. And just again, it didn't even occur to me. It wasn't me thinking about it. Just all of a sudden, a full blown visual of me wearing it there. I'm like, what the heck? As I'm doing ABC other things. And so that's when that's just how some of the stuff comes in. No, those are when I've learned and to really pay attention, because I'm not, driving it. It's just there. So anyway, yeah, use it different ways. It's convenient that way. Or get, if you already got a piece of Shungite rubber, same thing. Either the long one or Shungite patches, same thing. And those have, be careful if you got a, I have a beard, and that's, you don't exactly want to go pulling sticky stuff off of that. That can be a little painful. So be cognizant of that. But the Shungite patches that are available on the website too, and they're all reusable, and you can rebuy the adhesive patch that goes over it that'll actually hold it against your skin, be it your arm, lower back, neck, whatever, or n neck, the gland area. We give you direct, show you, we can buy more of those on Amazon. You don't have to get them from us. But the patches are all reusable. They come in lots of colors too. I don't show that online. I say black or tan because I have to provide some patches the adhesive covering of the Shungite rubber piece. For those that don't know, so I think maybe, I don't know, an inch and a half across, maybe something like that, of Shungite rubber, really thin. And then But there's even ones with, say, SpongeBob on them, Nancy, or things like that. Or if you want a purple one or this flag, the covering over it can those can be purchased because they're just diabetic patches. Because there's certain little devices that certain people have to, not just diabetics, but other medical devices that will go on the skin directly. And it's just what they automatically sell to cover that. And I just sized our Shungite rubber pieces to fit those perfectly. And now we got those. So if you want a different colors, you can go on Amazon or something like that. And they come in all different types.
Yeah,
But
couldn't you put the skin cream on the throat too, and then the rubber as like a double thing? What do you think of?
yeah, no, that's a great idea. And I was sitting here thinking about that. And I was thinking, well, if I use a chapstick tube, I'm like, nope, don't do that. I'd use the skin cream like he's talking about. And it comes in a little glass hexagon jar, just like the honey does. You know, just put your finger in there, it'll get warm. And then I would absolutely do just, in fact, I'm going to do that next time because that's a great idea, Mark. Thank you for, again, those who don't know, you can't see me anyway. I got a short beard, still obnoxious to put if you had to put a band-aid or something sticking on there. I mean, it's gonna hurt. I know. Well, that's a thing. So I can put it on some of that so it's not gonna be completely because so you don't need the whole thing, all the adhesive, let's just say, in all the cases. So that's one way I could make it less painful. So yeah, I would definitely do the whole Shungite skin cream or again, lip balm just shaped a different way.
And I
But
found a way to best clean the mask because I sweat at night because of all the layers. Is just using detergent and a toothbrush as opposed to throwing it in the washing machine, which could damage it. I mean, I did buy an extra. Another question: I just bought this portable speaker. If I wanted to, because they say different kinds of music or sound can have different effects, but if you want it to be streamlined with, or maybe you can, something you could go into this. I don't know if it's in your Shungite book, but how Shungite affects sound, whether it's from the TV or a speaker or like the phone speaker. But in the case that I bought a portable speaker, would using the S4 cosmic silver Shungite powder be just as good as putting a sticker? Like I took some of the powder, not drops, but like a half a pinch or something like that, and put it where the sound would come out. Do you think that would work?
oh yeah, you don't even need to have it say on the, and you didn't exactly say that anyway, but on the speaker itself or the output, you could put it somewhere else. But yeah, so powder will work just fine as well, as long as you can get it. And that's really the whole premise behind Shungite rubber was just having a medium to hold the silver and Shungite powder that we call, and of course you know it called cosmic silver Shungite. So that was the whole point of that, because you can't exactly, oh, I got a backache, take a pile of powder and just slap it. You could. It's not going to work. You know, it'll work fine, but then you got the mess and blah, blah, blah. You don't get to reuse it. So that's literally why the Shungite rubber was or its intention and used for. So the, I guess if you sprinkle it somewhere, just, I guess your issue would be just trying to get it to stay there. But really, anybody can take the powder, get a piece of tape, sprinkle the powder on there, fold the tape over, and then stick that little piece of tape. So your own little Shungite tape now, and stick it inside of there or on something. That's one way as well. And yeah, I just showed you how to make your own, in essence, a Shungite sticker on your own. But you know, that can always be done. Just it's a way of getting the powder in the right spot and to stay. So, but that's a good idea. Now, and how it affect it, it's gonna lessen the, so okay, a speaker, a radio, or song, you know, I know all different things, but the output is this kind of same thing. So the music, I'll put it that way, the music coming off of it reaching you, the frequency part of it affecting, won't have as much or any of the overlay from the frequencies on the electronics. So yeah, we can audibly hear some of the frequencies, music. We don't hear harmful EMF frequencies and radiation ones and things like that, but they're part of the end result reaching you, which is why when you put ear Bluetooth earbuds in, all those different things, you're getting it all at once with, you know, no buffering. or no removal of the non-biocompatible frequencies of electronics. So we're not the frequencies of the music isn't necessarily, depending on the music, maybe non-biocompatible, meaning disharming or slowing down your natural energy. Odd things to talk about, I know, so I have to kind of invent words sometimes or ways to say it. But so yes, it'll have a benefit, but it's not gonna, you didn't say this, but it's not gonna remove, if somebody hid frequency such and such that's not good for you within that. And again, you didn't bring that up, but I want to just expand into it. It won't necessarily have an effect on that, but it's absolutely worth doing because that music, the end result, is passing through negative spun energies, frequent things around that speaker itself before it starts reverberating the air and water molecules. That's important too, to get to you. So also, I'd just say, remember that thing we call air or space between us and the speaker in this case, that's all water. Well, that's programmable. Decide. Also, have your intention. Well, then this space is my Shungite shield. Again, play with the name, it doesn't matter, but have fun with it. But set an intention and decide it. Like my ears just started buzzing because I'm sitting here doing it and waving my hands around. And I get to feel the different changes in the room. That's a thing. And again, I always say I'm not extra special. I get extra knowing because I get to cheat and see and feel a different way sometimes. And again, I'm not the only one, but just know I have never seen somebody not able to do the exact same stuff. It's just convincing them or reminding them they can do it as all. So then, and that's just decide. So remember, put your Shungite powder on your speaker, absolutely. And then decide, and however you want to visualize it, that space in between you is, whatever's best, or it filters out the bad stuff, or, spin it in your head however you need to, whoever, but spin it. And then you'll have an effect. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, the reason I asked is because there was this Netflix movie that came out, something about the end of the world or something, funded by the Obamas, and Sherry Edwards did a there was a rumor going around that there's this scene that had this weird acoustic vibration, and then so she measured it, and then it was a harmful frequency that was projected out sound-wise during the scene in the movie. And she recommended a certain herbal supplement or something to counteract that. But like, how are people? I mean, Netflix just bought like Warner Brothers or something, and just goes to show you how giant this company is. And okay, this is what we found. How many more things that's happening that we don't know that's being projected out there to any, family members, friends and family. So thus having, put a Shungite sticker on the TV or wherever the speaker is, like if your TV has an external speaker. So I think that's really important because when it comes to movies and these kinds of cultural things, people let their guard down. They're eating all this bad crap in the movies when, and then what they're being bombarded with frequency wise. So yeah, it's just our added armor layers that like what we've talked about in past shows.
Yeah, no, that is good. And if you, because we're not all going to be able to have stickers on everything because we're at your friend's house or neighbor's house and they're not into it or blah, blah, blah. Well, like what's wrapped around my neck right now, I'm actually wearing a 6-day cosmic silver Shungite in the little fabric pouch. I don't wear the wire one, but I wear the one in the little, it's like a little cloth pouch kind of thing, little net. And that, then you have your own armor around you all the time when you're going from A to B. And I got a brace on each arm as well, but yeah, so then that's another thing. But definitely your own stuff, I would have Shungite sticker on or magnet, depending on the case. The speaker thing was a good, I'm glad you brought that up though.
Talk to us about the Shungite ink and then the thing with the AirPods.
Oh yeah. Shungite, yeah, you said Shungite ink.
Sorry, the mute button there. Yeah,
That's okay.
what do you call it? The nail polish bottle.
Oh, the paint. Okay. Yeah, because I used to have Shungite ink as well. And maybe I'll bring that back at some point. But not enough people had, certain types of fountain pens or that you could use your own ink. A few did. But yeah, we have available on the website cosmicshungite.com under the other products thing. It looks like a nail polish bottle. It's larger. I don't remember the exact milliliters, but it's on there. But it does come with that same type of cap where you have the little paintbrush on the end, and it'd actually be a great idea for people to actually use it as nail polish. But it's shungite paint, so it's the cosmic silver shungite paint, so silver blended with shungite powder and then blended into a non-toxic paint. And then that's for things, because of course you're not going to put a shungite sticker on your earbuds or anything like that, or a lot of different things are either too small or just won't really work out. Well, now the shungite paint gives you that option. And what you hear in there, just so if somebody does order it, you'll hear there's a little stainless steel BB down in there. Often you'll hear in other paint cans and things, just for blending purposes. But that's what's inside. But yeah, it can be used on, again, your earbuds, your other devices like your watch. So if you have a smartwatch, any of the Apple Watch, just any of them, there's so many types of them now. You can on the side, because of course you do on the bottom. But here's another thing I found. You can get so the shungite paint. Put a little bit on there, and then you can get a varnish or I mean, literally go to the nail polish aisle and you'll find just that clear coat or, again, there's probably another name for it. I don't know. But you can put it over that for extra protection for more of a waterproofing, you can say. So depending on, again, what you're talking about, because maybe you have a jacuzzi tub outside that gets splashed now and then. Well, you don't really want to hit in even shungite paint directly. So that's just one way of putting a layer over it, or your lawnmower, because you got to hose that thing off, typically. So, or it gets wet or whatever. There's a thousand little devices or things like that you can imagine that a sticker or setting a nugget on won't necessarily work. It's not the most convenient thing to duct tape a nugget to a lawnmower and go at it. But yeah, I would use in different ways to paint. Again, back to your any energy. And everybody's an energy worker. You can't not be. So because you got energies and you work with them. So, but even those that are even more focused, I don't care if you're a massage therapist, a Reiki master, or this, that, or the other, there are heightened energies that, some call chakras on the ends of your fingers, not just seven or nine up and down your body, as I've heard before. Those as well. But I'm just saying there's a lot more. So once you know that, and then if you, it would behoove you to probably, again, put shungite. I mean, you can wear gloves if you don't necessarily want to paint. Like I've never painted my fingernails with shungite paint, but what I would do is paint gloves and then have that if I wanted to. So that's one way around it. But I have shungite rings as well. So I'm just kind of saying if that's one way to get that paint involved in your modality, just like our shungite dowsing rods. I've dipped the tips of them each, because there's of course be two, one down on the handle and one at the far end. Dip that in shungite rubber and or shungite paint, and cover them that way so that that's there. And you can do that with other devices, because dowsing rod, you're not going to make them out of shungite, but that's the way I figured out how to introduce it, especially to the receipt, because dowsing rods are an antenna. You can do the same thing with a pendulum, and we sell shungite pendulums to help keep them clear. So if you have your favorite pendulum and it's not shungite, well, you can get shungite paint and paint some of the links of the chain, put a dot on the pendulum, whatever it is itself, or up on the top. So that's one way to use it.
And then people who are increasing their workouts because it's New Year's resolution month or whatever, you got the rubber pad in its various forms to what do you call it? Help recovery. And for those stuck in traffic or traveling long distances, rubber pads great to sit down on. And then there is a video on the Rumble Shungite Reality channel of when you add silver into shungite. It does increase stem cells, and a registered nurse does show stem cells increasing in blood in a microscope video there. People can check out.
Yeah, and I mean it absolutely has an effect because again, I wasn't giving any thought about my glands or my throat the other night, other than going, oh, getting sick or sort of thing, and then just the effect, and I wasn't sitting there focusing on it, so it was me just and I put it on there, went to sleep, so and nothing else involved, so there was had a great effect, so I'll just say that, and you can use it all over the place. Nancy, did you have anything you wanted to add? Or ask, or did you want to
No,
wrap?
I'm doing.
I know the mute button keeps getting hit. I can see it.
Yeah. No, thanks. And I appreciate what you guys have been talking about. So, yeah, we're well over the hour. So, you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, no, yeah, I appreciate everybody being here, especially Mark and Nancy, and no, it's good chat. We again, as everybody knows, we haven't been doing shows every week, or and I'm still juggling a lot that I can't talk about right now. But the shows will start in the future to become more often. I'll put it that way, as just soon as we can.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Anybody with skin issues, dry skin, eczema, psoriasis, that kind of thing, the cream does go a long way, but also increase your collagen. Get the 5 to 10 different types of collagen types out there to take. That's what helped me when I had crazy bad eczema and psoriasis years ago. Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody, be safe, and we'll see you next time. Appreciate you muchly.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.